Today's shir is a Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the third word on the line, Itmor. Let us begin with a brief Hagdama. We learned in yesterday's shir that there is an Isser Hanoh from a mace. One is not allowed to derive any Hanoh, any pleasure, from a mace himself, or from Mishamshea mace, the Tashmishin, that are used for a mace, such as tachrichin, the shrouds. And we had a discussion about the kever, and we concluded that if it is a kever binyan, something that was detached from the ground and became attached, that would be part of the Isser Hanah. Something that was karka oilam, it was earth taken, ground taken from the earth, it was always mechubber. That we learned out from a comparison to Avodah Zorah, just like Avodah Zorah is not b'mechubber, so too this Isser of Hanoah from a mace is not with something that is mechubber. And really this is a Gemara in Avodah Zorah of Chav Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara learns this out, and we'll see this later in our sugya. We learn it out from Egla Arufa. Because by Miriam it says Vatama Shum Miriam, Vatikover Shum, and by Egla Rufa it says Egla Rufa is the case in the Torah where one finds a corpse and the person was murdered and no one witnessed it, and it's lying in the open, so the Torah requires that the Zakenim of that town that is nearest to the mace should publicly declare that they are not responsible for his death. They should daven to Hashem for slicha for Klal Yisrael. And part of the ritual is that they take a calf and bring it down to a rocky valley, and the calf has a arifa, the head is decapitated. So concerning Egla Rufa, it says, V'orfu shum es Egla benachal. In that valley, there is a decapitation of the Egla. So we have by Misa the word shum, by Miriam. We have the word shum by Egla Rufa. And we make Xera Shavit. Just like an Egla Rufa is Oster Bahanoah, so too, one cannot have Hanoah from a mace. And now we begin our sugya with a machlokes between Abaya and Rav Itmar. It was stated, Ha'oireg beged l'mace, if somebody wove a garment to be used for a mace, Rashi says, La'achar shemace, it's speaking about where the person died already. If it is for someone who has not yet died, someone just makes some tachrichem to be used later on, when someone dies, but it's not designated for a specific mace, so then there would be no machlokes Abaye and Rava. Both would hold that this beged is not Aser Bahanoah. However, when there is a mace, and this garment was woven to be used by that mace, but it had not yet been used by the mace, the question is, does the Iser Hanoah from a mace and all the auxiliary items that are used on behalf of the mace, does that apply when we're only talking about hazmana? Abaya Amar Asr. Abaya says that if it was made for a particular mace, then it falls into the category of an Isser Hanoah. And Rava says, Rava Amar Mutter. Rava disagrees with Abaya. What's the reason? What's the rationale? Abaya Amar Asr Hazmana Milsehi. Because Abaya says that preparing and designating this garment and speaking out that this is the garment that's going to be used for that mace, so as Rashi says, the shame of the mace, the name of the mace, is already on this garment, so that's already considered as if, Rashi says, ki'ilu korchuboy. It's as if that the mace was already wrapped in the shroud. There, everybody would agree that it is osur tavanor from that shroud, because it was already used by the mace. Likewise, everybody would agree that if the person hadn't died yet, that hazmana, as we mentioned before, is nothing, because you haven't designated it for a particular mace, so the name of the mace is not on that garment. The machlokes Abaye and Rava is where someone died, and this garment was designated for the mace, but it had not been yet used by the mace. So Abaye says the hazmana itself, the designation itself, is as if he had been wrapped in it, that there's an Isser Hanoah. Rava says, Mutter, why? Because hazmana lav milsi. Just designating it is not worth anything. That doesn't make it, even calling the name of this garment for the mace, we do not consider it as if he has been wrapped in the mace and it's mutter bano. The Gemara asks the question, my time at Abaya, what is the reason of Abaya? And the Gemara answers, Gomer Shum Shum Egla Ruf, as we mentioned before, there's a Gzeir Shava from Misas Miriam where it uses the word Shum to the word Shum in the Parsha of the Torah of Egla Rufa. Ma Egla Rufa Bazmana Mitzra, just like Egla Rufa the Halacha is, as Rashi brings down, Yeridasa Lenachal Eisan Hi Oisarta. Just bringing the calf down to the valley without decapitating the calf, just that action alone already makes the Egla Osir Bahano. So just like by Egla Rufa the Hazmana prohibits having any Hanah from the Egla Rufa, Hainami here by the mace, Hazmana Mitzra, with the Hazmana itself, the garment will become Osir, because Hazmana is something, it is as if the mace was wrapped in it, and we learn it out from Egla Rufa. V'Rava, Rava, Gomar Shum Shum, Yavarish Kechavim. He also has Xer Shava, but instead of learning Shum Shum from Egla Rufa, he learns it from Avarish Kechavim. Shum by a mace, we have again the pasuk concerning Miriam, Vatama Shum Miriam Vatikavar Shum, and concerning Avodis Kechavim, the pasuk says, Abe Ta'abdunus Kolam Akoimais Asher Avdu Shum Hagoyim. So we learn out from Avodis Zorah, Ma Avodis Kechavim Bazman Eloi Mitzra, just like the Allah is. Now concerning Avodah Zorah, just designating it for the Avodah Zorah, it does not become Aser. As Rashi on the last line of the Amud says, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, tells us, Ha'imer Bai Zel Avodah Zorah, or She'er Zel Avodah Zorah, Mutter, She'ein Hegdish Avodah Zorah. Whereas if somebody dedicates something to the Beis Hamikdash, there's a concept of Hegdish, it already belongs to the Hegdish. However, if somebody dedicates something to an Avodah Zorah, until he actually uses it for the Avodah Zorah, we say that it does not become it does not go over to the Hegdish, it's not to the Avodah Zorah, it does not become dedicated to the Avodah Zorah, and Hazmana does not Aser, so we have Shum Shum by a mace also, according to Rava, that Hazmana will not prohibit. Ask the Gemara, V'Rava Maitam Legomer Me'Egla Rufa, why didn't Rava learn like Abaya from Egla Rufa? Amar Lach, Rava will answer, as we turn to the Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Mishamshin, Mishamshin Gamrinin, we learn out an auxiliary item. From an auxiliary item. When we're speaking about Avodah Zorah, we're speaking about not the Avodah Zorah itself, we're speaking about Kalim. As Rashi brings down, that the Pasuk, Asher Avdu Shum, is speaking about things that are used for the Avodah Zorah. As we find the Gemara Avodah Zorah, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Abdun to Abdun, Abe to Abdun, is Kalim Akimus, is speaking about Kalim, Shenishtam Shben Avodah Zorah. It's, even though the Pasuk uses the word Mekoimus, but it doesn't mean really places, because as we learned in yesterday's shiur, places, mechuber, ground, cannot become prohibited. It's Eloi Heyem Al Hehorim, the Pasuk says. The Avodah Zorah that's on the mountains and not where the mountains, the places themselves, are Avodah Zorah. When the Pasuk therefore uses the word places, it means the Gemara learns Kalim used for the Avodah Zorah. So the Pasuk speaking about Kalim, and you would think that it becomes Osir right away when it's designated for the Avodah Zorah. The Pasuk says, Asher Avdu Shum, and we learn out Mitashmishreila. So just like by Tashmishe Avodah Zorah, it only becomes Osir when it's used for the Avodah Zorah, not when it's designated for the Avodah Zorah. So I learn out Shum Shum to Misa, that it's only when it's used, when the mace is wrapped in the shroud and not when it's designated for that mace. So it makes sense to learn out an auxiliary item from an auxiliary item. La Fuke Egla, to the exclusion. That we're not going to learn it out from the Egla Rufa, because La Fuke Egla Rufa, the He Gufa Kedusha. By Egla Rufa, we're speaking about not an auxiliary item to the Egla, but rather we're speaking about the Egla itself. So it's a better limud. The Xer Shavah makes more sense to learn out the auxiliary item used, the Tashmishe mace, from the Tashmish Avodah Zorah, rather than from Eglah, which is the item itself. Why didn't Abaya learn like Rava from Avodah Kechavim? And then he would hold that Azmana is not Usr. The answer is, Amar Lach, Abaya will tell you, Midi Du'urchim and Midi Du'urchi Gamrinin. We learn out a normal thing from a normal thing. Rashi explains something that's normal for a Jew. Shaderach HaYehudim Lasis Kein. But avodah zorah is something that a Jew is not supposed to do. In other words, we learn out a mitzvah from a mitzvah. Taking care of a mace, we learn out from Egla Rufa, which is the way the Torah tells you to take care of a murdered corpse that you find without witnesses. Whereas Avodah Zorah, Rashi adds, not only is a Jew not allowed to serve Avodah Zorah, a Goy is not allowed to serve Avodah Zorah either. And Rashi gives a Svara. Since we're dealing with an Aveira, we hope until the last moment that it's used that the person won't actually go ahead and commit the Aveira. It'll only remain a thought. So that's why by Avodah Zorah, we don't say Hazmana Milsahi. However, when we're dealing with mitzvos, a person wants to bring the Egla Rufa, a person wants to help the mace. So there, when he designates something, then he wants to accomplish it. He wants to fulfill the mitzvah. But by the Aveira, we hope until the last moment he's not going to do it. And that's why by Avodah Zorah, Hazman is Lav Milsi. Where do we learn it out from? We learn out a mitzvah from a mitzvah. We learn out mace from Egla Arufa. And now the Gemara has a simon of the various shilas that we're going to ask here on the shitos of Abaya and Rava. Mesu, we're going to ask from a brisa on Rava, who holds Azmana Lav Milsahi, because we learned it out from Avodah Zorah. And from the next brisa, it would seem to be like Abaya that Azmana is Milsahi, because we learned that Kippa, and Kippa refers to, Rashi says, Soif, which is a woman's kerchief. Shehu Tomei Medris, that it had the Tum of Medris. What is the Tum of Medris? If you have a Zov or a Zova, or you have a Nida or a Yoledis. And if they sat on an item, or they leaned on an item, that item becomes Tomei Medris, which is a very Chomer Dikatuma, because it's an Av HaTumah, which will be Metame Odom V'Kelem. So if a, but the halacha is that it's only receives this very hard Tumah of Tumas Medris if it's an item that's normally used for leaning or sitting. For example, if somebody would lean or sit on a shovel, which is not the normal way to do it, it would not get the Tumas Medris. However, a tsoif, a kippa, a woman's kerchief, Rashi explains, where the woman sometimes will take it off and sit on it, or she will lean her head with the kerchief on her head, so it's used, the natural way of using it is for leaning or sitting, therefore it receives tumas medris. Now, what happens if the woman decided to dedicate it, this kerchief that had on it a tumas medris, for a Sefer Torah, then immediately the Tumas Medris falls off. As the Brisa continues, Unisanasai, she gave it, which the Gemara understands the word giving means she designated it for Le Sefer, for a Sefer Torah, that it was big enough to be wrapped around a Sefer Torah. So the halacha is, Torah min haMedris, as Rashi explains, you don't have to bring this Tsoiv, this kerchief into tefillah, you don't have to be tovelin in a mikveh to remove the tumah, but rather immediately the tumas medris falls off. Why? Because Rashi brings down that we can say, once it's been designated for the Sefer Torah, we can say, oimrim loy amoid v'nasim lachtenu. You can't use this to lean on it. You can't use it to sit on it. It's been designated for Sefer Torah. Get up, let us take it and use it for the Sefer Torah. So since it is in a situation where we can demand that it is now used for Sefer Torah, that automatically causes the Tumah to fall off. However, as the Brisa continues, Avol Tomei Maga Medris, it'll get a secondary Tumah, which is not able to be Matama Adam Vekalim. It's not an Av HaTumah. And we will consider this soif that it had, since it's still a keli, And at one time, this keli had a tumas medrash on it. It's considered, even when the tumas medrash falls off, that it's like something that touched the medrash. And it'll have all the halachas of a maga medrash, something that touched medrash, which is not as a severe tuma as the tumas medrash itself. And the Gemara's point is that how did this all happen, as Rashi explains, unisonase, just by her designating it to the Sefer Torah, immediately the tumas medrash falls off. So you see, like Abaye, that doesn't want a milsehi. The Gemara answers according to Rava, Amen is sonase, uchara chatoi, that not only did she designate it, but she actually wrapped it around the Sefer Torah, even though the Braisa uses only the word nisanasi, that she gave it with hazmana, but it means actually she wrapped it also. Ask the Gemara if it means both. Lomali nisanasi choratoi. What do you need both? As Rashi explains, action speaks louder than words. You did an action. You wrapped it around the Sefer Torah. So then what do you have to designate it for? The action itself should make it that the tumas medrash goes off. To get more answers, no. Kid Rav Chisda, Dom Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Hi Sudra pouch. The Azman, that a person designated Lemaitz Beit Tefillin to wrap in a Tefillin, Vitzor Beit Tefillin, and he actually did wrap the Tefillin in it, then the halacha is, also Lemaitz Beit Pshita, he's not allowed to wrap in it coins. But what happens if Azmanei V'loi Tzarbei? Rav Chisda will hold like Rava that if he merely designated it to be used for tefillin, but he didn't wrap the tefillin in it. Or Tzorbei, even if he wrapped the tefillin in it, but V'loi Azmanei, he didn't speak out that this is going to be my tefillin bag from now on. So then it's Shori, it's Mutter, Lemeitzer Beip Shite, to wrap coins in it. And as Rashi explains, the reason is, we say, Ikroi Ba'al Mehudahavi. He just used it temporarily. So according to Rav Chisda, you need both things. You need a designation and you need an action. That's why Rava will hold, in the case of the Sefer Torah, the woman will have to designate that she wants her kerchief to wrap around the Sefer Torah, and she'll actually have to wrap it around. But if she just designates it, hazmana lav nosi. If she wraps it around, that also is not sufficient because she's only doing it temporarily. She's not actually dedicating it over to the Sefer Torah. You need both. Says the Gemara Labai, according to Abai, the Omer, Hazmana Milsehi, that he's of the opinion that Hazmana alone is enough. So the halacha is, Azmanei, in the case of the tefillin and the coins, even by preparing, by designating it, Afagav de Loitzarbe, even if he didn't wrap the tefillin in it, because Hazmana is Milsa. And therefore, in the case of Tumas Medris, with the Kippah de Tzoyef, the kerchief, when it says unisanasai l'sefer, you don't say like Rav and Rav Chisda that you designated and you actually wrapped. According to Abaye, no, unisanasai, just the designation alone is sufficient because hazmana milsi. But the other part, he agrees with Rav Chisda and Rava that what happens, azmanei, he prepared it. Azmanei da halacha, labai da amar hazmana milsi, da halacha is azmanei afagav deloit sorbe, as we just mentioned. But on the other part, he agrees that sorbe, if he wrapped it around, e azmanei in, if he designated, that's good, because you need both, because he agrees with Rav Chisda that if he just wrapped it in without designating it, he only did it temporarily, and he didn't really give it over for tefillin, or the woman didn't give it over for the Sefer Torah. So then, sorbe, azmanei in, ilo azmanei loy, if she prepared it, it's good. If the person prepared it by the tefillin, it's good. If he didn't prepare it, he didn't designate it, then just the mere fact that he wrapped it would not make it into a tefillin pouch, and he would be able later to take the tefillin out and wrap in it money. So that halach, everybody agrees to Rav Chisda, that if it was used but not designated, that it does not become a tefillin pouch, or it does not become a cover for a Sefer Torah. The machloikis is, what happens if he designated it and he didn't wrap it around the Sefer Torah, he did not put the tefillin into the pouch, he just designated it. Abai says it makes it into a dover shel kedusha, and the Rav and Rav Chisda disagree, and they say you need both items. There's interest in machloikis Rishonim here between the Ran in the name of the Ramban and Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil and the Son of the Sefer, where the Ran and the Ramban say that according to Abai, Hazmana Milsehi, all you need is to say it, to designate it. I hereby designate it. That's enough. According to Tosfos, as we see right at the end of the second Tosfos, Tzorach Loimer, the Yichud de Dibur Ba'al Maloy Mahani, LMK, not loy, va'omar ze yia lemeis ula sefer. According to Tosfos, it's not enough just to designate. You have to do some action. You don't have to wrap the kerchief around the Sefer Torah, but the woman has to nisanasai means that she has to do an act. She has to pick it up and say, I hereby give it over to the Sefer. I give it over to the mace. I give it over to the tefillin. You have to do some action, even though you don't have to use it for the mace, according to Abaye, or the Sefer Torah, or the tefillin. This is the machlokes between the Ran in the name of the Ramban on one side, that Dibur alone helps, and Tosis on the other side, that you need some action, even according to Abaye. Toshima, the Gemara now proceeds to bring various braises. Some of them are proofs to Abaye that Hazmona Milsi, and some of them are proof to Rava that Hazmona Lav Milsihi. The first braise says, Nefesh Abani L'Shem Chai, a nefesh is an ornamental structure that is built over a kever, which we would call an oil. So if it was made for a chai, that when he will pass away, he will be buried there, and the oil will be on top of his kever, the halacha is mutter b'hano. It's mutter b'hano, even according to Abaye, who says, hazmana milstihi, this is not called hazmana, because hazmana is only once the person dies, then anything, according to Abaye, that is designated for the mace is asur b'hano. But if it was designated while he was alive, that's not called hazmana, and it is mutter b'hano. Continues the braisa, hoisiv boy dimus echad l'shei mace. But if this person who was alive, and it was designated while he was alive, but subsequently he died, and now there was added an extra dimus, which is a row of stones, so that is equivalent to a hazmana. As we learned earlier, that even according to Tosfos, that a dibur is not enough, but a maisa kol dehu, an action, would indeed, according to Abaye, be considered hazmana. So here's the action, hoisiv boy dimus, and it was done l'shem mace, and then it's asur b'hano. So from here, we have a raya to Abaye, hazmana milsihi. All he did was hazmana, and yet we say it becomes asur b'hano once the person has died. The Gemara answers, hachav ma'iskin, and the Rava will answer that here. It's speaking about the rama b'mace, that it's not just that they built a nefesh, there was an additional row of stones for someone who died, but actually they placed the mace there. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, my ear Yehoisev, so why do you have to add a row of stones, Kiloi Hoisev Nami, even if a row of stones was not added? The case is speaking about where the mace is there. If the mace is there, then according to everybody, of course, you cannot use the kever in any way for a living person. It's asur b'hano. That the Yad Ramah says that everybody would agree if now the mace is using that place, there's no question that it's asur b'hano. So why do I need to say that it was hoisiv boy dimus? Even without hoisiv, everybody would be mitre it's asur. The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha must be speaking about afagav depanya, even though you remove the mace. So now it's required that you have azmana. As Rashi points out, because we learned earlier, tzor beiv loy azmanei, shori lemeitzer beiv shiti. That if you wrapped tefillin in a pouch, but you did not prepare, you did not designate the pouch for tefillin, you just be kroy, temporarily you place tefillin there. Once you take the tefillin out, you could put in there coins, because according to Rav Chisda, and Rava goes with the sheet of Rav Chisda, the mere fact of placing something there without hazmana will not make it asur b'hano. And Abaye and Rava both agree in that point, that if you're just tzor without a hazmana, that it doesn't work. Tzor needs hazmana. So here, where the mace was placed in there, so while he's there, of course, it's asur. But you're telling me the case is, you took away the mace. If you took away the mace, then it's necessary to make a hazmana. So you have the hoisiv by dimus is the hazmana. You had a maisa that you put the mace in, then Rava will agree that the hazmana, since it was backed up with a maisa, then you have the requirements that Rav Chisda needs, a hazmana with a maisa, and we don't say it's just a temporary thing. We say that he designated it l'shem de mace, and therefore it becomes asur b'hano. Toshima the Gemara brings another raya to Abaye. Hachaitziv kever l'aviv, if somebody hewed out a kever for his father, v'holach v'kivroi v'kever achar, and then subsequently he buried his father in a different kever. Says the Gemara, the halacha is harezel lo yikover by alamis. The son is not allowed to be buried there forever. And the Gemara's havamina was that even though we're speaking about a case of a father and a son, it's lav dafka father and a son who adin. Anybody else would also be usher to be buried there. So l'chayra, we see from here that the mere act of hachoitz of kever for the mace, hewing out the kever for the mace, designating it for the mace, is enough to prohibit it. So we l'chayra to write habayit, that's mana milsahid. Our answer is no. The case is bedafka, specifically speaking about a father and a son. There, the reason why the son cannot be buried there anymore. It really, Hazman is lav milsahi. If it would be a stranger, he would be allowed to use it because it's not considered the maces just by designation alone. As Rava holds and Rav Chisda hold, you need designation with an action. So here, where there was only designation, it would not prohibit it on a stranger. It does prohibit it, however, on the son, because it's not honorable, it's not respectful to his father that he should be buried there. And this is also very logical, Diktani Seifa, because of the Seifa, which we learned, Rav Shimon Gamliel Loimer, Af HaChoitz of Avonim. La'aviv, if somebody hewed out from a mountain stones to be used for his father's kever. And then he buried his father's elsewhere. The son is not allowed to use those stones which were hewn out of the mountain for his father. The son cannot use it forever. So if this whole halacha is because of an inyan of a bezoyan to a father, it's not respectful that he should use the kever of his father or the stones of his father's shapir. That's good. It makes sense. Eli amrit mishum azmana. But if you're going to say this halacha is because it was prepared, not just for his father, it's prepared for any mace, and that's why it's usser. So what would be the rationale of Rav Shimon Gamliel? How could stones become usser? Tavi la riga miyikla mandi omar. Is there anyone who prohibits? Even Abaya wouldn't prohibit if threads were spun for weaving a garment on behalf of a mace. The only time that Abaya said that Hazmana Milsahi is if someone died and we began to weave tachrichim for the mace. But even Abaya will agree that just spinning threads so that they could be woven into a beged, that certainly will not become usser. And that's not called hazmana for the mace. So here, where he took out rocks, if it's because of the halacha of hazmana, why would it become usher? Must be. It's not because of hazmana. It's because of kavod for the father. And then, even rocks should not be used by the son. Toshima, come in here from the following braisa. Kever chadosh mutar bano. A new kever is mutar bano. However, hitul boy nefil, if a embryo, which didn't live, a deceased embryo, was placed in it, usur bahano, then it becomes, that kever, which is being used by the nefil, becomes prohibited. So the Gemara makes a deduction, hitul in, only if a nefil was placed there, but loy hitul loy, if he was not placed there, even if it was designated for him, it would not become Asur Bano. And as a result, the way Rashi learns here, we will understand the ratio of Kever Chadosh, Mutar Bano, to mean that even if it was designated for a mace, it's still called Kever Chadosh. And it still will be Mutar Bano. As long as it wasn't used for a mace, it would be Mutar Bano. So L'chayra, from here, we have a Raya that Hazmana Lav Milsahi. Hazmana doesn't accomplish anything. It's only if the mace is placed there. But just designating it, it will not prohibit it. So the Gemara answers no. Hua din dafagav deloy hitel. Abaya will answer this proof, which is a proof to Rava. Abaya will say, really, it's usher even if the nafil was not placed there. And because really, hazmana milsahi. And Rashi explains, how would I learn kever chadosh mutar bano? Kever chadosh means that it was made for someone living. Or it was made, not for anybody specific, but whenever the owner of this plot says that he needs it for whomever he's going to use it. But it wasn't designated for a specific mace. Because if it was designated for a specific mace, then hazmana, according to Abaye, hazmana milsihi. So don't deduce from the seifa that hit the lin, loy hit the loy. I'll tell you, even if loy hit will be usher, because hazmana milsi, and kever chadash means there was no hazmana of a mace. There was only hazmana for a chai, which is not meaningful. It's not considered hazmana, even according to Abaye. So why, in fact, does the Braisa use the terminology hitl, that if the nafel was placed there, if in fact, even if the nafel was not placed there, it's usher, la fukem in Reb Shimon Gamliel. This is the main thrust of the Yatana, is to include the sheet of Reb Shimon Gamliel, which we find in Masechta Olos, the Amar, Ein Lan Folim, Tfisas HaKever. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that putting a nafel, a stillborn, that never lived, and is buried there, he does not have a halacha of a mace, and therefore he does not grab the kefir. And he doesn't make it Osir Bano. That's a sheet of Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Tana wanted to tell you, no, if you placed a nafel there, it has a din as if you placed a regular person there who passed away, and it is Osir. But in fact, you don't need to place him there. Even if you prepared the kever for a mace, it would still be Osir Bahano. Continues the Gemara with another raya. Toshma, come in here. Moiser hamesim lemesim. This is a shaila in Hilchas Tzedakah. If, as Rashi explains, we gathered money for aniyim who died, or for mesei mitzvah, people who had no relatives to bury them, and there was leftover money. What happens with that leftover money? Lemesim, it goes to other mesim. Moiser hames, but what happens if we collected money for a specific person who passed away? Whatever money's left over after all the burial requirements were satisfied, the extra money goes to the yorshim. So l'chayra, from here we have a raya against Abaye. We have a raya to Rava that has mana lav milsehi. Now Tosfos asks Akasha over here, that of course Abaye would be moited that has mana is nothing here, because here we're speaking about money. So we're not speaking about something, a chefetz, an object that was designated for a mace, or a kever that was designated, or a tachrichim that were designated for a mace. And we learned before, if it's another step removed, such as the spinning the threads, we learned that even a baya would agree that that is permitted. Tavi la riga miyik lemandiyomer. Is there anyone who says that that is usher? Because of hazmana. So here too, money which is going to be used to purchase certain needs for the mace, that even L'chai Rabbaya would agree is not considered hazmana. Tosfos in his second teretz answers at the bottom, Tosfos Divrei Maskil Moiser, Inami Mois Adifi Mitavi Lariga Mishum Dechazul Miktim Behu Kol Mili. Money, which through money a person can buy whatever he desires, is considered so able to be transferred into a chayfetz that it's considered like a chayfetz, and therefore Abaye here would say that it is considered hazmana. So there's a difference between threads that are spun in order that they can be used to weave a beged, and money that is used to purchase something for the need of a mace. Money is considered an immediate chayfetz of the mace, and if a buyer holds his mana milsi, the halacha should be that the moiser a mace should not go to the yorshim. It should go to the mace. There should be an isser on noah for anybody else to use it, and it should not go to the yorshim. We have a raya to rava that hazmana lav milsi. Says a buyer back, and here we are speaking about Shagavu Mechayim. There's no hazmana here, as we learned this rule many times on this stuff, that hazmana is only if it's done after the person died. But if the hazmana was while the person was still alive, then it's not called hazmana. But the Gemara says this is not a good teretz, not viable answer. Why? Holoi Tani Hachi. We didn't learn like this. This is not what we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechta Shkola, Moiser HaMesim LeMesim. The leftover money that was collected for mason goes to mason. Moiser ha-mase li-yorshav. The leftover money that was collected for a specific mase goes to the yorshav. Vitani alone, we learned on this. Ketzer, what's an example of this halacha? Gavul mesim stam, if they just made a collection for mesim, not for a specific mace, zeh moisar mesim le mesim. That's a case of the leftover money for the mesim will go to other mesim. Gavul le mace zeh, they collected for a specific mace, zeh moisar mesim le yarshim. That's the case where the extra money from the mace goes to the yarshim. So you can't give your teretz abaya that it's speaking about they collected it while it was alive, because we learned there in Masechta Shkalim that the case of moisar hamace le yarshim is speaking about when they collected it for this specific mace who already died. So l'chayra, it's a very strong raya to Rava against Abaya that hazman olav milsi. Ulatameich, so Abaya says back, according to your logic, according to your reasoning, emeseifa, you might have a raya against me from the reisha, but I will have a raya against you from the seifa that hazman is milsi. Why? Because Rav Meir says, lo yigabet, no one's allowed to touch this money. We have a suffix. We'll see in the Gemara what the suffix is. Does it belong to the mace or does it belong to the yarshim? Yehemunach atchiyav eliyo. Lo yigaben atchiyav eliyo. Eliyo will decide who's supposed to get the money, the mace or the yarshim. Rav Nassan is even stronger than Rav Meir. And Rav Nassan says, there's no suffix here. Yasenu dimas al kivroi. Make a monument on his kever. Or yzilav naming tasai. Or sprinkle wine in front of the meat of the mace, which either will be a covet for the mace, or it will take away the odor of the mace, but do something for the mace. So Rav Nassan holds that there's no suffix even, you have to do for the mace. So you brought me a raya from the Tanakhama, that moisar mace li yarshav, you see, as a mona lav milsi, I'm bringing you a raya from Rav Nassan, that he holds you have to use the money for some benefit for the mace. So you see, as mona is something. Ella, the Gemara says, from here, we have a raya to Abaya and to Rava. We have a kasha on Abaya and on Rava. So therefore, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say all three shitas, the Tanakhama, Rav Meir, and Rav Nassan, will either hold totally like Abaya or totally like Rava. El Abaya Matarzit Tamei. Abaya will answer this whole raya according to his logic, but Rava Matarzit Tamei. And Rava will answer it according to his shita, Mazmana Lav Milsi. How? Abaya Matarzit Tamei, the Kuli Al Mazmana Milsi. Everybody, Rav Meir, Rav Nassan, Tanakhama, everybody also Mazmana Milsi. So what do they argue about? Tanakhama Sover, Tanakhama holds. Yes, Mazmana Milsi. But that's only on the exact amount that the mace needed. The chazalei, what is required for the mace to take care of the burial, toughest, that he takes. That is mezuman, that's hazmana milsi, it's considered the mace, it's called on the name of the mace, it's asur bano, and it's something you have to give to the mace. But the loy chazalei, what's extra, which was not required by the mace, loy toughest, he has no hold on that. If he has no hold on that, it goes to the yarshim. Rav Meir misafkali. Rav Meir is a safiki toughest, he loy toughest. He's not sure about that. Hilkech lo yigav en atchiyav eliyo. So his sheet is, since there's a safik, should the mace get it or the yarshim get it, yehei munach, leave it over till eliyo will decide what should be with the money. Rav Nassan, the extreme other sheet is of Rav Nassan, pshita lay, he is certain the vari toughest. There's not a suffix here, and certainly the yorshim don't get it. The mace does get, even if it's extra, because since the money was collected on his behalf, even if he doesn't need it, he gets a hold of it, and therefore hilgach, he paskins, yasad dimas al kivroi, he makes a monument on top of his kever. That's the way Abai will understand. So according to this pshat, everyone there holds that Hazmana milsi. V'rava wals hazmana lav milsi. Matarzit hamei will answer l'shitasoi. L'kuli al hazmana lav milsi. Everybody holds hazmana is not of any halachic significance. Tanakhama sover. The Tanakhama holds ki vozule achuli machal zuluse gabi yarshin. The question here is not one of hazmana, but rather who owns this money. The Tanakhama holds, since it's embarrassing for the mace that they had to make a collection in order to bury him, so the Tanakhama holds that once they did it and he did get embarrassed, he's mochel his embarrassment as long as his descendants will have some benefit from it. So therefore, if there was extra money left over, he had an embarrassment that people collected money for him to bury him, it's left over, let my yorshim get it. Rav Meir misafkali mochli loy mochel. Rav Meir doesn't know who owns the money. He doesn't know if the mace is really meichel his bezoyin for the extra money that the Yorshim should get it. Hilchach, therefore, Allah is Yigaban until Eliyahu will paskin who gets the money. Rab Nosson, the third Pshita, Pshitalei, he knew for sure, Deloy Machel, that the mace is not Moichel. He doesn't want to go through the embarrassment of money being collected for him, and then it's being given to his Yorshim. He's not Mochel that. He doesn't forgive it. Hilkach Yaseh Dimas Al Kivroi. Therefore, you have to do something on behalf of the Mace. The money belongs to the Mace. You have to make a monument on his Kivroi. Zilif Livnei B'Yitaser. You have to sprinkle wine in front of his Mita. But the Mechleis has nothing to do with Asmana, because Asmana Lav Milsi. Toshma, I'll bring you a rhyme from another Bryce. A father and mother, Rachman al-Itzalan, lost a child. And in their distress and anguish, they started throwing their clothing towards the bed of the mace. And if the clothing would touch the bed, the clothing would become osur bahanoah. So the din is mitzvah lachem latzilin. So that there's no greater ashavas aveda than this, says Rashi on the last line on the Amid. The ain ashavas aveda gadol mizeh. So they should try to save it. So the question is, how can they in fact save it? Once the parents threw it, and they would run after it and take it back, but the action of the parents is enough of an action, even according to Tosfos, who requires some action in Hazmona, there's an action here. They threw it. So what will it help if other people grab it and take it back? True, it's Hashavas Aveda, because they're going to lose all their money. If they keep throwing all their clothing and kalim towards the mace, and it touches the mace, it's going to become Asur Banoah. But how will it help if people collect all these belongings? If Hazman is Milsa, according to Abaya, then it should be Asur Banoah. As we turn to Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, the Gemara answers Hashem Shum Muraya. Abai will answer that that's not called Azmana, because Azmana is only if a person does it with a Das Tzlula, a clear mind. Here they're doing it with all kinds of mental anguish, and therefore it's not considered they have a clear mind, and their Hazmana is meaningless. Ask the Gemara, Yehoch Yehane the Ketani Allah, that which we learned on this din. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Vamed Vomamurim Shulay Nagu B'mita. When can they save all these kalim, this clothing, only if it never touched the bed? Aval Nagu B'mita Asur, but if it touched the bed, it's Asur. If you're telling me that they did it with bitter anguish, and their mind was not clear, and therefore what they did has no meaning, so why should it be Asur to touch the bed? Tirgama Ula. So Ula explained, there are two kinds of beds. There's a bed that a person is nifter in. There's a bed that he is buried in. Their minig was to bury the mace with a bed. The bed that a person is nifter in is lav dafka, that he'll have tachrichim put on him in that bed. However, the bed that is brought lekfura with the mace will have the mace with his tachrichim, with his shrouds on the mace. And the Gemara says, b'mita nikber simo, it's speaking about the bed that was buried with him. The mechalfi b'tachrich ha-mace, that people get confused between the clothing that's on the mace and the clothing that is touching the mace's body. So it means that ein lechanam mid'raisa, this is not usher. However, it's considered part of the belongings of the mace that no one is allowed to have hanah from, because the rabbanim made exeira that people shouldn't say that the tachrichim themselves, which are certainly asur banoah, that they are mutter banoah. If you're allowing the clothing that touched the mace to be mutter banoah, they'll think that the tachrichim themselves are mutter banoah. And therefore, they made a rule that if it touches the bed, it becomes mid rabbanon asur banoah. But if it doesn't touch the bed, so there's no hazmana because of miruraya, because of the bitterness, and there's nothing to confuse because it's not touching a bed on which there are tachrichim. So the Rabbanan didn't make their gezerah. Toshima coming here from another halacha. Kiss, a pouch, shasulanich by tefillin, that it was made to put into a tefillin. Apparently it means it was designated for tefillin to be put into it. Osulanich by moish, you cannot put money into it because it was already set aside for the dvar mitzvah of tefillin. What happens if he temporarily put tefillin in the pouch, then he took the tefillin out? Of course, he can't put the money there while there are tefillin there. But if the tefillin were just put in temporarily, and then he took it out, he can put money in it after the tefillin were removed. But the kashi is from the reisha, because what do we see in the reisha? A kiss that was designated to be tefillin to be put there. It's also to put in money. So the Gemara answers, Eima asol v'nich. This is not a problem on Ravu who holds Hazmana lav milsi, because here it would indicate Hazmana's milsi. No, it's speaking about that it not only was it designated, but v'nich by tefillin. The tefillin were actually put. So you have Hazmana with a maisa, asol v'nich by mois. Then you cannot put money in it. Kid Rav Chizda, this is the sheet that we learned on Amid Aleph from Rav Chizda, that if you have tzorbe, you put the tefillin in the bag, and there was a Hazmana, you have both things together, then it remains usher, and this will be the shita of Rava Toshima. Amr l'umid, if a person said to a craftsman, I say li tik, make for me a chest, shall sefer for a sefer Torah, or nartik or a kesh shall tefillin, so atchel enishtamim behen kaidesh mutu lishtamish behen choyl. Here is going to be a raya to Rava, which the Gemara is not able to refute. Until kaidesh was used in this chest or in this case, so you're allowed to put in a secular item, choyl. But nishtamish ben kodesh, once it was used for kodesh, asher nishtamish ben choyl, then you're not allowed to use it for a dover choyl. So here, l'chor, we see a klar raya that is mana lav milsi, because even though it was set aside, this chest for its sefer Torah, if it wasn't used, the halacha is that it's mutter lishtamish ben choyl. So l'chor, you have a raya to rav it, as mana lav milsi, the answers that Abai will have to say, tanoihi, it's actually a machlokes tanoim. The sani we learned in the brisa, tzipon, so if a person covered over the tefillin with gold, oi, shetol alein, or shel behemet mea. Or he made a case for the tefillin from the skin of a non-kosher animal. And it says in the Torah, Rashi brings down, the Laman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha. The Gemara darshins that the tefillin can all be made, Min Ha Mutter Beficha. Only something that you're allowed to consume may be used as a case for tefillin. So since this is the skin of a behemoth tamei, it's possible. Both the gold, Rashi says is a halach l'moishim sinai, you can't cover a tefillin with gold, and also behemoth tamei, because of the pasuk of l'man tiyatar Hashem beficha. But what about or behemoth tahira? If it was, the case was made from the skin of a kosher animal, kesheiros, those are considered kosher. Af al pi shalai ivdan lishmon. So the Tanakhama holds that even though it was not worked on, the tanning was not made l'shem tefillin, but rather the person took a piece of leather that was already tanned, not l'shem tefillin, and he used that. As long as it's from a behema tahira, it's kosher. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, af or behema tahira psulois ad sheyavdu l'shmon. No, that even from a kosher animal, it would be possible if there was no ibud l'shmon. So the way Rashi learns the machlokes here, the man the Omer who holds that the Tanakhama that holds afal pishul la'iv don lishmanz kasher, he holds hazmana lav milsi. That ibud is just hazmana; it's a preparation. It doesn't accomplish anything. Lav milsi, like Rava, and therefore you don't need it. However, if Shimon Gamliel holds that you need ibud lishma because he holds hazmana milsi, it accomplishes something. So the preparation of the tefillin by tanning the leather, that is hazmana, but hazmana is of a substance. It accomplishes. And therefore, since hazmana milsi, you have to do it lishma. So learns Rashi. However, Taisus divrei maskil afalpi, the top Taisus, brings Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam has a very strong kasha on Rashi, because according to Rashi, we'll come out a stira in halacha. Because we paskin on the one hand, like Rava, we're going to see at the end of the sugya, that hazmana lav milsahi. And yet by ibud, we paskin that you do need ibud lishma. Like Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to Rashi, those two psakim are a stira one to the other. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam learns that Rava, who holds hazmana lav milsi, he's the one who holds like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you need ibud lishma. In other words, we've had the concept that hazmana requires an action, but it doesn't need a strong action, it needs a small action, a maisa koldu. So if you hold hazmana lav milsi, it means that a small action is not good enough. You need a heavy-duty action like ibud. The whole process of tanning is a very strong action. So that, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, you need the Ibud Lishma because he holds that just Hazmana, even another smaller action, is Lav Milsi. Doesn't accomplish anything, like Rava. And the Mele, the two Psakim, come out beautiful, according to Rabbeinu Tam. On the one hand, we pass in Hazmana Lav Milsi, which would include even a Maisik Holdu, a small action. However, what you do need is Ibud Lishma, and that's where we paskin that Ibud is required Lishma. So it comes out from the Gemara right now that there's a Machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, Lishitasam have a machloikis, whether has, which sheet to hold Hazmana Milsa or Hazmana Lav Milsi, but the bottom line is that we have a machloikis tanoim, whether Hazmana Milsa or not. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Ravina Rava, Ravina said to Rava, I don't understand what you and Abai are arguing about. Mi ikka duchta, the Rama be mace for argue begle mace. Your case is, if you do for chai, we learned that a riga of a tachrichim for a chai, is not usher. Even if the person died, your designation was when the person was alive. The only time Hazamana could be something, according to Abaye, is after the person died. That's a non-practical case. Where's there a place that they ramu beimeis, they put aside the dead, the deceased, and they go then and start weaving tachrichim for the meis, shrouds for the meis. Why don't you argue about something practical? Omar lay in. Yes, there is such a place. We're going Shechvi de Harpanya. The mason of this place, Harpanya, as Rashi explains, were very poor. And after a person died, then they would make a fund to bury the person. And they would have a little money to make him very inferior shrouds. So there is such a case where a person will die and will be Oreg the Begotim after his death. And that's Armachlaik is Rav and Abaya, whether Hazmana Milsihi or not, even though the mace didn't use it yet. Dorish Mareimer, Hilchazik of Zayda Abaya. Mareimer held out longs like Abaya and Hazmana Milsihi. Rabban and Amri Hilchazik of Zayda Rava. And the Rabban were of the opinion that looks like Rav that Hazmana Lav Milsi. And the Gemara concludes, the Hilchazik of Zayda Rava, the Aloch, and this Machlaik between Abaya and Rava, is like Rav that Hazmana Lav Milsihi. The Gemara continues with a new inyan, since we have been speaking about Haruge Bezdin, what the din is with them. Now we go to the inyan of Haruge Malchus. Haruge Malchus, the makor of this, Rashi brings down as a pasuk in Yeshua, where Hashem said to Yeshua, Kol ish asher yamra espicha, any person who will rebel against you, v'lo yishmas v'rech, will not listen to your words, l'chol asher tetzavenu, everything that you command him, you must. This is the inyan of someone who's married by Malchus. Yeshua had a din of a melech. And from Yeshua, we learn out that a king has a right to kill someone who rebels against him. It could be Alpi Bezdin, the perpetrator would not be Chayv Misa, but based on this passage in Yeshua, he's Chayv Misa. Tana Rabban and Dili Rabban learned number Isa, Haruge Malchus Nechseim Lamelech. When they are killed, the property that they own belongs to the king. Haruge Bezdin, if someone is killed by Bezdin for doing an aver for which he's chayv misa, nechseyen liyorshin, the property that is left over from the deceased goes to his inheritors, to the yorshin. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he says, af haruge malchus nechseyen liyorshin, even by haruge malchus, their nechasim go to the yorshin. Omrule, the Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chama said to Rabbi Yehuda, v'aloi kvar nemar, we find in Malachim Aleph, Perik Chof Aleph, concerning the king Achav and his wife, the Rishanta Izevel, that Achav had a desire for the vineyard of Navois that was right next to his palace, and Izevel arranged, they hired two witnesses who testified that Navois was Borech Aloi Kim and the Melech. He was Megadef against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he rebelled against the king. And subsequently, he was killed. Navois was killed, and Achav took over the kerem of Navois. And on that, the pasuk says that Hashem said to Elio, go tell Achav, koyomar Hashem, haratzachta v'gam yirashta, you killed an innocent person, and you also inherited his property, you took over his property, and as a result, the Rabbi Shem said that Achav and his entire family would receive a terrible oynish. So the pasuk there states, which our Gemara brings down, Hinei bekerem Navois, Achav is in the vineyard of Noves, Asher Yoracham Lurishta. He went down there to take it over, to Yarshin it. And Rashi points out that the Pasuk does not say Asher Yoracham Legazuloi, to steal it. It seems that once this fraud, this frame of Noves was made, that he had done two averes which he really didn't do, but then under the guise of Mishpat, Achav was able to take over his field. So the Rabbana bring a raya from here that L'chayra Haruge Malchus Nechsein L'Melech. So once Bezdin accepted that Noves had done these averes, then it's not Gezel, but rather he inherits the property by law. Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Yehuda responded to the Rabbanon, no, Yerusha here means Yerusha because he was a relative. Achav was a cousin of Noves. Ben Achi Aviv Hoya, he was a son of Noves' father's brother. So he was a cousin. V'royal Yarshi Hoya. He didn't get it because of Haruge Malchus Nechseim L'melech, because really my sheet is it goes to the Yarshim. But rather, he was a Yarish. Asked the Rabbanim back to Rabbi Yehuda, V'aloi Harbe Banim Hoyuloi. He had many sons, so the sons would come before the cousin. So how was Achav able to Yarshin him if he had many sons? Rashi says here that he doesn't know a source that Novice, in fact, had many sons. We'll come back to this Rashi in a few moments. Let us see the Gemara further. Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Yehuda responded to the Rabbanon, Oisai Vezbanav Harg. The many sons that you're talking about were killed by Achav. Achav killed not only Novice, he killed his many sons, and I have a pasuk to prove that. Shenamar Imloyas, the main Novice, the main Bonav Ra'isi. I saw the blood of Novice and the blood of his children because they were killed as well. To Memeil, there were no sons left, and therefore Achav was a cousin who could Yarshin. Verabbanon, Hahu Bonam Aruyin, Lotzis Mimenu. There were no sons that were really killed. But rather, this is referring to the sons that could have come out from Novus in the future, and as a result of killing Novus, they were not able to be born. So if we go back to the Rashi, where Rashi says he doesn't know a Makor that Novus had sons, so we could really say that Vishlam, according to Rabbi Yehuda learns that he has sons, because the Pasuk says, but the Rabbanon, who say that the May Bonav refers to future generations, and he had other sons who were not killed out with Novus. Only Novus was killed. And the other sons would Yarshin before the cousin. So on that, Rashi says, where do we see that he had other sons? The Rabbanon learned the May Bonav is not speaking about sons that were living. It means future generations. So here we have a strong question. Rashi has a strong question. That where do we find any other source, according to the Rabbanon, that Novice had sons? Now, the Margolius Hayam brings down a Yalkut, a Melachim Beis, that says that Novice, Hayakoylo Noem, he had a very sweet voice, and Vahayoylo Yerushalayim, Vahayakol Yisrael, Miskansim Lishmayas Koyloi. They all came to hear the beautiful melodic voice of Novice, and we know in order to be a Shatz, a Shlich Tzibur, to lead a congregation in Tefillah, one has to be married and have children, so that he has a feeling for the rest of humanity. He's not self-centered. That's one of the prerequisites of being a Shatz. So the Magyarovsky wants to suggest that might be the Makor that we find that Novice had other sons. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that he yarshined it as a cousin. According to the Rabbanon, he wouldn't yarshin as a cousin because there were other sons that were living, but rather he received it, Achav, because he was a melech, and nichsei haruge malchus go to the melech. Continues the Gemara, Bisham l'mandi yom nichsei l'melech, according to the Chacham, who say that the nechasim of a person who is Haruge Malchus goes to the Melech, Hanedichsev. We understand Pshat in the Pasuk that the Edim testified that he did two Averis, Beirach Novus Eloi Kim, Umelech, that he was Megadav against Hashem, and he cursed the king, he rebelled against the king. Because Achav wanted that the property of Novus should go to him, and therefore he made it that not only is he to be killed al pi bezdin, but he's to be killed as a marid b'malchus. If he's a marid b'malchus, then nechasim will now go to the melech. If he would only be killed because of being megadef, then the Nechasim go to the Yarshin. So we understand the motivation of saying these two things. Elam and the Armanich say and Li Yarshin, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Nechasim go to the Yarshim, so Lomali Umelech. Why did the Adam have to testify two things? They could have just said Megadif, and the Nechasim would go to the Yarshin either way. So it was enough to say one of Aram. Says Rabbi Yehuda back to the Rabbanu L'Tameich, according to your reasoning, Elokim Lomali, why don't we just say Melech? The Adam should have just said Melech, and then Achav would have received it because he was a Marid B'Malchus and the Nechasim go to the Melech. Why did they have to make two averas that he also was Megadif against Hashem? Ella, you have to answer on that kasha, lafushe rischa, that there should be a lot, an increase in anger. Hachinami lafushe rischa, sakor, you have to come on to that teretz yourselves, the Rabbanan. So too, says Rabbi Yehuda, enechanami, there's no nafkamina as far as nechasim to the Yarshim or to the Melech, because according to my shita, both Haruge Bezin and Haruge Malchus Nechasim go to the Yarshim. The reason that they had two Averas was in order to intensify and increase the anger. Rashi learns the anger of the Bezdin. The Bezdin shouldn't say that Ach was killing an innocent man. So to really lay it on thick, the Edim lied and said that he did two Averas. The Marsha does not agree with Rashi, and it would seem that the judges were in on this entire charade, and therefore the Marshal learns that to increase anger amongst the people, amongst Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should see that this person is such a no-goodnik novice, he did so many averas, that they won't look into the case and uncover that it was really a fraud. Continues the Gemara Bishlam, the Mandi Yarmanich Samla Melech, Hanadich Siv. Now we go to the Inyan of Yoav ben Tsruya. Yoav ben Tsruya was the Sartzva of David HaMelech. David commanded Shlomo right before he was Nifter that he should kill Yoav because Yoav did a number of averes. Number one, Yoav killed Avner ben Ner. He was the Sartzva of Shaul. And Avner ben Ner had killed Asoel, the brother of Yoav, when there was a fight between Shaul and David's armies. So Avner ben Ner had killed Yoav's brother, and Yoav, acting like a Goel Adam, had subsequently killed Avner ben Ner. The second person that Yoav killed was Amasa ben Yeser. He had been on the side of Shaul. Then he switched sides to David. David made him a general instead of Yoav because he was angry at Yoav because Yoav had killed David's son Avshalom. And then Yoav turned around and killed Amasa. So these were the two people he killed, Amasa and Asoel. And also he took part in the rebellion of Adoniyo against his father David. So therefore, before David died, he left the Tzavah that Shlomo should kill Yoav. And Yoav thought he would outsmart David and Shlomo, and he would run into the base of Midrash, grab a hold of the Mizbeach, and he wouldn't be killed there. He made a mistake. He thought that the Mizbeach could save him. So let's see the Gemara now inside. We're on the second wide line. Bishlam l'mandi yom nechseim l'melech hanedechseh v'yonos Yoav eloi l'Hashem v'yichazeh b'karnes ha-Mizbeach. He grabbed onto the corners of the Mizbeach uksiv Vayomer, when David sent Benoyo ben Yoyada, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, Yoav said to him, Loi etzei kipoy amos, I'm going to die here. We can understand what this means. You want to bring me back to Shlomo that I should die because of Haruge Malchus, because I did rebellious things against the king. No, I'm staying here, and you, Benoyo, with the Koyach of Sanhedrin, you put me to death, and there'll be a big nafgamina, because if I'm killed because of Sanhedrin, then my nechasim go to my Yorshim. If I'm killed because of a melech, then it would go to the melech. So this is good according to the Rabban. El, Laman Yom, according to Rabbi Yehuda, nechseim liyorshim, that even Haruge Malchus and Nechasim go to the Yarshim, my Nafkalim Minna. So why did he say, no, I'm going to die here, I'm not going to go back to Shlomo? What was the difference? The more answers, the Chayisha. He was just playing for time, stalling. He wanted to live a little longer. He knew that Benoyo, as happened, would go back to Shlomo and tell him of the problem. And then Shlomo would say, it doesn't matter, you can kill him anyway. So that was the reason. But really, it made no nafkamina as far as Nechasim going to the Yarshim or to the Melech, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Nechasim in both cases go to the Yarshim. The Pasuk then says, Vayashu Benoyo es ha-Melech, Davar lemer koi diber, Yoav koi anani. So Benoyo came back to the king and said, this is what Yoav said, and this is what he answered me. So as Rashi explains, it would seem that we have in the pasuk that he just said, loy eitzek ki poi amus. But yet from this pasuk, it seems that there was something else that he said, because Binayo said, koi diber and v'koi anani. What was the koi anani? Amar lei, so the Gemara relates that Yoyov told Binayo, zil emele tarti loy savit b'hai gavra. Don't give me two punishments. Double jeopardy. Because your father, David, already gave me a bunch of curses, as we will soon see in the Gemara. So don't kill me also. If you're going to kill me, then you accept upon yourself the curse that your father cursed me with. And if you don't want to accept the curse, then Shafke, leave me alone. And we will retain the curse that your l'taya avuch, that your father cursed me with. But you can't do both things to me. So when Shlomo heard this, this is what Benayo reported back, koy anani. This is what he answered. Shlomo said, asei kasher diber, do what he says. I accept upon myself the call of David. Upagaboy, kill him, kavarasoy, and bury him. Amr Buda Marav, kol klolish kill David at Yoyev, niskaim bizar shall David. Whatever David cursed Yoyev was niskaim in the children of David. What did he curse Yoyev? Al yichores mi beis Yoyev zov umetzoyra, umachzik bepelach, menoichful becherev, vechosr lachem. All of these things were to be in the children and the descendants of Yoyev, in his house. A zov, a metzoyra, a machzik bepelach means someone who holds on to a cane because he has problems with his feet, and someone who's going to be killed, and someone who doesn't have bread to eat. How do we see this was on the sky? It boomeranged back to David, descendant, because Shlaim accepted it. Zav Merechavim. We see Rechavim was a Zav. The Chsib. V'amelech Rechavim is Amitz Las Merechavim. He strengthened himself to go up on a chariot. Lonish Rishlaim to run away to Rishlaim. Chsib. And we find by a Zav the word Merkav. V'chol ha-Merkav asher yirkav alav a-Zav yitma. Any chariot that a Zav will ride on will become Tomei. So we make Xerah Shavah to teach us that Rechavim was a Mitzorah, a Zav. Mitzorah. How do we know he was a Mitzorah? That the descendants of David were Mitzorah also. He was a Yoh. The Chsib, Chaskosai, Govali. But when he got stronger, his heart became full of Gaiva, haughtiness. Ad Lahashchis, he wanted to destroy. Vayimol Bashem Alikav, he was Moyol. In, he rebelled against Hashem as God. Vayovel Heichal Hashem lahakter al mizbech ketores. He came into the Heichal Hashem, to the base of Mikdash, to bring a ketores on the mizbech ketores. Uksiv, and it says there, vatzaraz zorcha b'metzchoy, and the tzaraz broke out on his forehead. So we see he was a descendant, Uziyo was a descendant of David, and he had tzaraz. Masav b'pelech, which descendant used to use a cane? May Asa, that we know from King Asa, the Chsiv, Rak Lasik Nasa, when he got old, Cholas Raglov, he was, had a disease on his feet, Vamar Buda Marav, She'ochsoi Pudgura. He got Pudgura. Pudgura is explained as gout. Amalei Mazutra Bered Rav Nachman, Hechidami, how can you describe what gout is like? Amalei, Kemachat Bebasachai, like a needle in raw flesh. Minoya, the how does Rav Nachman know what it, gout feels like? Gemara gives three truths. Iboy same mekesh avichayshpe. The Rav Nachman himself suffered from gout. The Iboy, so he knew it feels like needles. The Iboy same Rabbi Avigarmala, or his Rebbe taught it him. The Iboy same a third teretz. Yisayd Hashem liray avibrisalay dia, that Hashem shares his secrets with those who fear him, and his covenant for those who must know, which are the Talmid Chacham, the Siyata Rishmaya, that Rav Nachman knew that even though he didn't experience it, but yet he knew it's as painful as Machat Kibasa Chai. As someone who, not through Soyd Hashem Lireyav, and not through learning it from his Rebbe, but rather Meichesh HaVechayish Bey, the first Teretz in the Gemara, I can testify it is like a needle in Basar Chai. And I have heard from a medical doctor that it is more painful even than childbirth itself. The Iboy, so the Gemara says those are the three terutzim. Now, Neufel Becherv, which descendant of David fell with the sword? Miyoshio, the Chsiv, Ayoiru, not Hamoirim, it says on the side, Hayoirim, the archers shot arrows, Lomelch Yoshio, into Melch Yoshio, Vomer, Butum, Rav, Shoskoku Kivra, they made his entire body like a sieve. The Chosulachem, Miyachonya, now we know from Yechonah, the Chsiv, the aruchasa, his meal, aruchas tamen, he constantly got his meal. Nasnuloi, they gave it to him. Who gave it to him? Rashi says, Nevuchad Netzar. On the side, it says it was Evel Meruduch. But we see that he was in need of getting a meal because he was a chasul lachem. Amar Rav Yudim Rav, Hainad Amri Inshi, as we turn to the Fman Tesomad Aleph, to Hey Loita, it's better to be cursed. Veloita Hey Lata, don't be the one who curses, because here we see from the story of David, he gave out all these curses and it boomeranged, it backfired, and Shloim accepted it upon his descendants, and the descendants of David, in fact, got all these klolos that he had cursed Yoav with. So therefore we see it's better to get cursed than to be the one who curses.